knowingly sin, knowingly make mistakes. Offered up a lot of lemons in my life. And I want you to know by His grace, He has made the sweetest lemonade out of them all. He is faithful. Trust Him. All right, here we go. Get our mind going down kingdom finances again. Now, even though we study a lot about the wilderness and the manna, and we need to study that, the wilderness was never God's plan for His people. He did not promise Abraham, "Abraham, to your descendants, I'm going to give this vast inheritance, a land of scorpions and snakes, a land of sand where nothing will grow, a dry and a parched and a thirsty land where they have barely enough. They'll never have any new clothes. They'll never have any new shoes. Abraham, aren't you excited about my inheritance?" Is that what He promised Abraham? No. What was the promise? Walk the length and the breadth and the width of this land. All that your eyes can see, I shall give unto thee and to thy seed. I mean, it's a good land. We're going to look at it here in a minute. A land that flows with milk and honey. And the Lord brought His people out of Egypt and brought them right up to that promised land. Gave them His word. Gave them His promises. You go, I have given you the land. But their eyes told them circumstances. They saw the giants in the land. They saw the problems in the land. They compared that with His word. They have to make a decision. Either we're able or we're not able. We know what God says. What do our eyes see? What do our ears tell us? What do our senses perceive? We have to make a choice, and you know what they chose. They said, "Thank you for your input, God. We appreciate that. But we're making the decision here. We know what you said, but we have decided we be not able to take the land." Sadly, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But all of you that are at this Kingdom Finance Conference, you're called to war. Do you understand that? See, there is no abundance without war. God fed them with the manna, but it was barely enough. He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. It was the land of barely enough. That's not what God promised Abraham. He promised His people a good inheritance. In fact, you're in Deuteronomy 8. Let's look at it here. But there is no such thing. The last lesson on those lessons from the manna, there is no such thing as abundance without war. But I'm meek and mild, and I want to live with my manna bucket. It's okay. That's how most Christians live. How did Kenneth Hagin put that? On Grumble Alley? Right next to Barely Enough or something like that? You know, something like that? God's calling you to take the land. And He's calling, you're going to have to lay down that manna bucket. You're going to have to take up the sword. And you're going to have to be victorious against an enemy who has thousands of years of history of succeeding at taking Christians out. Now, by the way, somebody went to the trouble of making, after I mentioned the website, www.garycarpenter.org, told you we have a lake of revelation knowledge there. Yesterday we skipped some stones across the lake. We're going to do that today too. But if you want to go and take some long drinks of revelation knowledge, it's there for you, free. So he went and just downloaded one onto a CD just to show you how easily it's done. Look at that fancy label. Get a magic marker. This is all. What you need is the knowledge, not a fancy label. Okay? This one's not, may not be important to you. You probably don't really need you don't need what's on here. What is that title? The Mantle of Christ. You probably don't need that. All right, let's go on now. Deuteronomy 8, look at this. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Now listen to this. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. LaRue, does that sound like a good land to you? I don't think I've ever met a preacher yet, anybody that really had a vision, that could say honestly from their heart, I am walking where there is no lack. I am walking in a place where I have all the finances and all the resources I need to accomplish the vision. I've never met one of those. God says there is a land where you can eat bread without scarceness, where you shall not lack anything in it. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that word want there is the Hebrew root word for lack. I shall not lack. All right. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Now, we read over these sometimes too fast. So I made a list here just in those two passages. Now think about this. This generation came out of Egypt for 40 years. They've not been able to sow or reap. They've not been able to have an occupation of any kind. I mean, they're in a land where there's no rain. There's primarily an agricultural society at that time. You can't grow crops. Even if you did find a little patch of dirt out there somewhere where something would grow, you sow the seeds on Monday, the cloud moves on Tuesday. There's just absolutely no way. Now, think how this would sound to you. You've grown up for 40 years. You've grown up like that. And God says, I want to bring you into a land of abundance. Well, what kind of land, what kind of opportunities would there be for me? Well, let's see. In this land, this is just the same thing we just read, just said a little different. In this land, I have occupations that you can choose to do if you want to. Wheat farming, barley farming. You can have vineyards and all that goes along with vineyards. How about who wants to go into the fig production business? Pomegranates. There's going to be olive oil production if you'd like to go into that field. Beekeeping and all of the associated products that could go with that. How about iron mining? Iron mining business. How about brass manufacturing and all of the musical instruments and the different things that can be manufactured. Just to mention a few, he's saying, I'm going to give you a land of opportunity. Did y'all ever hear of a country that was often called the land of opportunity? You need to understand this and write this down if you don't write down anything else. Free enterprise is God's idea. Free enterprise. Land ownership is God's idea. The reason God's able to bless this nation, it is founded on His principles. It is founded on what He believes in. He believes a man ought to have a land. He ought to have a house. He ought to have an occupation. He ought to be educated. Ought to be able to go to work. This is what He's promising them. By the time you conquer the giants in this land and you have, I'm going to give you wheat farming, barley farming. You can go into mining if you want to. And it's really their choice. But one of the lessons from the manna, remember he had that manna evaporate in the heat of the day. You know, you can live right in the middle of the most richest land, the richest nation that the world has ever known, and choose to be poor if you want to. Again, we lose a few members every time Dave does that particular message. Get a job, lazy man. Now, what I want to do now, we're going to skip a stone way across the lake. Is that okay? We're going to fast forward from the descendants. One of the descendants of these people that came in to possess the land that lived in Jesus' time. I mean, they're the descendants. They're the children of these people. So what I'm saying is they come from the same foundation. This man we're going to look at in the New Testament, his forefathers went through the 40-year period. His forefathers received the law, which is a type and shadow of the new nature. His forefathers learned for 40 years what God thinks about finances by the training of the manna. But and you remember what God says? In fact, I'll show you here before we leave Deuteronomy 8. Now, he's warning them. Look at verse 10. Right after he says about this good land, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee, and beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Now stop just for a minute. To them, he's talking about the law. They didn't have a new nature. They had the law, an external law, to give them so they'd have sight to walk by. Paul said, the writer of Romans says, I wouldn't even have known covetousness was wrong unless your law told me it was wrong. So he's saying, I don't forget. So for them, he would say it this way. He does say it before. Come right on down. Verse 18. Thou shalt remember thy law, the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be that if thou do at all, everyone say at all. If thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. To them he's saying, if you think I'm going to bring you into this land of abundance, and once you're in there, you can forget me and my law and just prosper anyway, you have got another thing coming. You know what he's saying to us? If you think you're going to prosper and just enjoy all the benefits of the kingdom and walk in some great anointing, and not walk according to that new nature I put on the inside of you, if you think you can forget holiness and walk in the fullness of my gifts and callings, you have another thing coming. And sadly, we've had a lot of that because God's merciful and he loves people and he wants to heal people. I'm not going to mention any names, but you know yourself. People, God would give gifts. People would have gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of healing, working of miracles. There's no denying the things that would happen. Yet, because they were really babies in their spirit, they were really very immature, sooner or later, some scandal would happen. You know, they'd run off with the secretary, run off with the money, run off with the secretary and the money. You know, some kind of scandal would come on the body of Christ. Many would even turn away. Sometimes they're big names, sometimes on national TV. I don't have to tell you who they are. And this goes back for decades, not just in our generation. And God is going, I would like to raise up some people who finally will let that new nature come to maturity on the inside of them, who will walk in holiness, allow my spirit to conform them to the image of Jesus Christ, so they can walk with some resident anointings for a change and not bring scandal on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, those people, I could promote them to some chief offices in the land. Maybe even in Hollywood. You think it's God's plan for Hollywood to have the money to turn out that trash? Now, he allows it, but it's not his plan. Can you imagine God in heaven going, yes, I think they should have all the hundreds of millions they need to turn out all that trash. And the church should be financed by bake sales, garage sales, and tips from wealthy men. Let me have another drink of gunpowder here. Thank you. Hallelujah. I got a white hanky over here. Glory to God. All right, now let's back up a little bit more, and then we're going to go look at this fellow in the New Testament. Let's go back to verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full. Now, this is God's idea. I'm glad God thinks like this for you and for me. When thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. Not added to, by the way. Multiplied. He's talking exponential. Okay? And all that thou hast is multiplied. When that happens now. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Now here he says, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When I read it, it says, I'm telling you, it says in Gary's Bible, the one who saved you from eternal fire in hell. Don't you forget him. Remember where you'd be without the blood, boy. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Now get this. This has been skipped over for generations now. You're about to hear wisdom from the throne of God. Now catch it, America. Catch it wherever you are. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And the warning is, don't say in your heart, don't begin to say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that gives thee the power to get that wealth. See, when you walk out of the tent every day and the bread is on the ground for you, and you know you didn't plant any seed, you didn't plow any ground, you woke up is all you did. You slept and you woke up and you open the tent door and look out and the bread is on the ground to pick up. It's pretty easy to keep it in your mind. God is feeding me. But see, when you go to work in a mine and you're it's a hot, you know, it's a hot land and dirty, and you're going down in there to going to dig iron out of the hills. Now that's your occupation. And you go in there and you put in a long day and you're sweaty and you don't smell so good when you come out and you're dusty, you know, and you get your paycheck and you come home and it doesn't matter if you're a computer operator today where you can, you know, you're drawing it, right? You're seeing when you worked hard and you come in and they get that paycheck at the end of the week. He's saying, in exactly the same way that I fed you in the wilderness. My hand fed you there, and through this occupation, my hand is feeding you here. Don't you begin to think it's your smarts, your brains, your education, your diligence. Don't you begin to think you're prospering yourself. I am the Lord thy God, and it's me that gives you the power to get wealth. Glory to God. That's America's sin, if you want to know the truth of it, right there. America has forgotten who is the Lord of Opportunity. That's the title of this tape, The Lord of Opportunity. His name is Jesus. Boy, if you've got a paycheck at the end of the week, you ought to lay that on the altar and worship God. If you're able to feed your children, give them bread, milk. You need to. It's sad how often we even forget to bless the meal. How does Dave do that one time? You get to the point, you just, God, bless this. And we even forget to do that. That was the warning. Don't you forget it. All right, let's look at the descendant now. Go with me all the way over to Luke chapter 12. Let's look at a descendant. This man was, he's an absolute descendant of these people, these very people. He's learned the law. He's heard the oral traditions and the written traditions that were passed down through the generations. This man is a son of a descendant of one of those very people that received that original warning. And now the Messiah is on the earth. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he begins to teach and he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Now stop for a moment. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And I was meditating on this in the light of the manna and the promises that we just read back there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm going, so far, so good. This is exactly what God promised. He said, this land that I'm bringing you into, this is obviously some kind of agricultural process. We don't know whether it's wheat or barley or what the man is growing. But apparently, God has blessed him. The rains came. The land was a good land that would grow crops. And apparently, this man is diligent about his business. And you know, he didn't just let the ground lay there and get muddy. He plowed the ground and probably had servants and help, maybe employees to do it. But so far, so good. This is exactly what God promised. He says, it's a good land. You'll be able to grow crops. You'll be able to prosper. It's a land of opportunity. So I'm watching God watch this man in my spirit. Remember what our definition of meditate is. Meditate means meditate, you know. So I'm meditating it. In the past, I've meditated it as meditated. You get into tongues if you're not careful. I've meditated this from the man's perspective, but then I got to meditating it from God the Father's perspective. And God the Father's watching this, and this is one of the descendants of the ones I hand trained in the wilderness. Yes, let's see now. Well, he's being very diligent with his land. I like this. He's not a lazy man. He's got his crew out there working. They're clearing the field and they plowed the ground, and he loves me. He's not in any adultery that I can see or any kind of sin. This man's doing his best to walk holy before me. I'm sending the rain. I'm blessing him. I'm keeping the covenant that I made with Abraham. This is going well. And look at this. The man's got a bumper crop. This is exactly what I promised. Hallelujah. Everything's going good. So far, so good, right? But let's continue. So reading that again, verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And now notice as I read this, the I and the my. You got to watch the I and the my. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, now, and you know, Jesus warned us not to call any man a fool. God doesn't do it very often, but he does in this case. Jesus himself, Jesus says that God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? The moral, the lesson, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me say it a little different to impact your brain. And does not live his life as God's steward. Rich toward God. What were the lessons from the manna? Let's just review a few of them. Why did God make that manna stink if you tried to keep it overnight and breed worms? You'd learn there was absolutely no reason to hoard it up for any reason. Why would you try and hoard it up? Well, you might try and hoard it up if you thought God might not be faithful. There might not be any come tomorrow. I better gather up more than I need and save it for a rainy, can I say a rainy day? Can I save it for a, God might not come tomorrow. So God, he had to alleviate them of that kind of thinking, and he has to alleviate you of that kind of thinking. God is faithful. One of the lessons from the manna, and you can tell this man had forgotten that lesson because his soul could take no ease. In other words, soul, take thine ease, meaning it wasn't at ease before. Now, does that mean we're not to have any savings account? I was asking the Lord, because if that's what he means, fine. I've heard people teach that. Thank God that he doesn't teach that. And the key is in this very passage. You notice it says, take thine ease. We have much goods laid up for many, say it, years, many years. Okay, how many does it take to make many? Would you say two? Two is a couple. Would most people say three of anything is many? Something, so we know it's at least more than three. Could be, I don't know what many is either. All right, let's just say this. It has to be at least four. So, listen, at least three. Okay, let's just stay with three. Now, that means to even qualify, you would have to have in your bank right now 3 years of your annual salary saved up without touching it at all. That's just your cash reserves. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I already know there's not a whole lot that qualify. Okay? This man couldn't be at ease unless he had many years of income saved up. God's not against you having a savings account. I do not think every flat tire should be a faith project and you have to confess in the money to get it fixed or get a new tire. You know, God's not against. I mean, there's too much other scripture, like consider the ant who gathers its food at the right time and all of those kind of things. Okay. But what God is saying, don't forget who I am. Don't start living in fear. Don't start fearing lack in the future. That's one of the lessons the man forgot. Isn't that right? All right, let's look at another one. One of the other lessons says, never fear sharing from what you have. He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. Did you notice the eyes and the mys? Nowhere in here is he considering anyone but himself. I wonder if there were any Lazaruses near his palatial home. Wonder if there was any hungry. Wonder if there was any suffering. Yet there's not an ounce of consideration of that. You know, I've thought about those people that would gather much. Let's go back. Let's meditate again on the manna before we finish here. Let's meditate on the manna. Think about people that would go out and gather much. You know, the first week, the first day that manna ever came. I mean, Kyle, come up here a minute. Come here. Kyle is in his 20s. I'm not. Now, if he and I, Bronk, come up here, stand next to Kyle. Here's another one. And they dress alike. They wear green shirts. Hallelujah. Praise God. Energetic ones, you know. Anyway, now, if we were going to have a race today and start gathering manna, I got a feeling I know who's going to come in third. Just looking at them, looking at me, you know. I'm going to get tired. I'm going to, you know, my apple, as Dave says, my apple has become a pear. Used to be an apple like these guys. Now it's a pear, see, you know. Now, let's just, but so the first day, everybody's excited. Nobody's ever seen manna before. And they're all out gathering, you know. And boy, they're gathering a lot. They're just faster and stronger and quicker. And now, the way the manna, the way it was distributed, and I'm gathering what I can, but picture next to me a widow, someone maybe 85 years old, who can barely get around maybe. You know, I know there was no feeble, but still you get old, you know, and get slow, except for his grandpa. But anyway, he can outwork me forever. Anyway, but there were people that were slow. And think about maybe someone whose husband had died, yet they had children they were raising. You know, they may not be able to gather enough. Well, so the first day, they gather If we had buckets, you know, let's say they come in with 10 buckets each. Way too much for themselves. And I bring in one, and the widow brings in a half. But she needs 5 buckets. Because she has kids and whatever. Well, the way that it worked, everybody, whatever they brought in, all went into a big hopper, basically. And then it was measured back out, family by family, based on how many children do you have. Okay, you need this much. You got a wife and children, you need this much. And so everyone took home really just what they needed. Now, think about the people that gathered much. Now, the first day, that was exciting. Second day, I don't get to keep any of this. I don't know if I really need to rush around quite so much. You know, after week one, and they see that all of their extra effort has nothing in it personally for them, because all they're going to wind up with is what they need anyway. Think about after year one. I wonder how many who began as much gatherers became little gatherers over time because there wasn't anything personally in it for them. Think about it in the 40th year. See what meditate means? Think about it in the 40th year. 40 years, you still got people. You've got a few. We're looking at a qualifying factor for the end times, because you're going to make millions, not for yourself. After 40 years, I wonder how many were left, LaRue. Because they had a heart, they'd look at the widow, and they'd look at the orphan, and they'd look at the elderly, and they'd look at the ones that could not feed themselves. And they said, God has given me the ability to gather much, and I will gather much so that there will be no lack. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. That's why God calls this man a fool, living his life self-absorbed. I will gather into my barns. I will lay up for many years. I don't care about anybody but me. My millions are mine, and I've already forgotten who it is that gives me the power to get wealth anyway. Y'all ever heard that joke about the scientist? Scientist started having a conversation with God and says, you know, we can make human beings ourselves now. Technology's come to the place we can do that. God says, really? You can make humans yourself? Oh, absolutely. He said, well, go ahead. Let me see you make one. And show me, God says. Well, just a minute. Let me go gather up some dirt. And God says, no. Wait a minute. You go make your own dirt. You know, science, with all of its technology, cannot make a seed grow. They can't make it grow. They can't make one that will grow. But yet they, in Pharaoh's tombs, when they excavated those tombs from 3,000 years ago, where they sealed up wheat seed in those jars where they were airtight, 3,000 years later, they wonder, will the seed still grow? Planted it in the ground. 3,000 years later, the life that God originally put in that seed still brings forth fruit today. Who sends the rain? Who gave you that ground that makes that seed grow? Hallelujah. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is He that gives thee the power to get wealth. This man forgot the lessons from the manna. I so encourage you to get those tapes. Get those messages, download them, go over them again and again. Because what he's really called you to be, I can see it so clear. I've never heard anything like this in my life, but I can see what he is calling today. This Kingdom Finance Seminar being part of it. He is calling people to gather much. But you cannot have the mindset of this rich man. This is the trap. This is the very trap. The very thing that he's been saying all week. And if you go back to those prophecies that came through Dave back in 1995, the one that LaRue has at his website, called Gospel Entrepreneur Instructions or something like that, Over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit said, yes, they come to me in the beginning, they get my counsel, they begin doing what I say, but as the wealth begins to come, before long, the wealth gets them. Then they don't come and listen to me anymore, not how to make it, nor how to distribute it. And without saying so, they wind up like this fellow. We don't want to hear at the end of our lives, thou fool. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Right now I could go to the parable of the pounds, stewarding the pound with, that's all already there at the lake for you. There again, the third man. You know, the first two that the Lord gave the money to, they went out and they increased it. But the third man, he just went and hid his in the ground. Do you know why? It tells you why in the parable. He says, I knew that you were a hard man, that you reaped where you do not sow. So I just went and I hid your talent, your pound, in the ground. You know what he's saying there? He says, you expect me to take this money and go increase it for your kingdom, and you're just going to come and take it all, and there's nothing personally in it for me? I'm not going to spend my life doing that. God may have a word for him at the end of his life. Thou fool, I gave you opportunity to be a steward in my kingdom. I gave you an opportunities to be a person who gathers much. And you passed it all up to spend that short vapor of your life consumed on your own lust, your own desires. Thou fool. Now let's look at it where it's working correctly. Let's look at another man. Let's look at Peter. Luke chapter 5. Y'all getting anything out of this? Again, I don't know who that drunk man was yesterday. Some impersonator. Just so you'll know, I mean, that was a first for me too. I've had the anointing come on me before where it's like molasses. You can feel it on you, and you can tell when it gets on other people. But I've never had it take my legs away like that. So we're entering a new realm. At my journal page this month, Torsten, stand up, by the way, so y'all will know, that beautiful picture of a sunrise, that photograph, him and his wife took it in Bavaria. That's a sunrise in Bavaria. Is that not wonderful? It's called the dawn, huh? From their bedroom window, I think. But it's dawn of a new day. We are at the dawn of a new day. Amen. The sun is rising. S-U-N and S-O-N is rising in the land. All right, now, Luke chapter 5. I like to call this one Jesus and the Businessman. It's one of the rare glimpses we have in New Testament where Jesus interacts with a businessman at all. And it's Peter and his fishing business. And I know you've heard this probably many times, usually at an offering. It's amazing how they can convert, how some people can convert all of these parables into an offering message. And there is a little bit in here about an offering. I could see how you could do it, but there's sure a lot more in it than just that. Now watch this. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, that's Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, that's their business partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught, the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, now notice, they forsook all and followed him. They found the real treasure, didn't they? They followed the real treasure. But now let's watch this interaction with Jesus and the businessman. Now, just so you'll know, this was not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. If you want to see it, just hold your place there. Go over to John chapter 1 and look at verse 40. This is right after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit had descended upon him like a dove. John the Baptist had declared, Behold the Lamb of God. Starting in verse 40, he says, One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. And Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And now notice this. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Your name is Simon. Your father's name is Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone or a rock. Now, you can go back to Luke. Peter's first encounter with the Lord, his brother comes and says, We found the Messiah. I wonder how many times that claim had gone through the land before. But anyway, so Peter says, Well, I don't know about that. Andrew says, Come and see. Brings him right up to Jesus. Just walks him right up to Jesus. And with a word of knowledge, first time you ever meet him, and he says, Your name is Peter. Your father's name is Jonah. You're going to become a rock. Word of knowledge. He's already met this man once. Amen? All right, now, the same Jesus comes and he finds Peter and the rest of them are washing their nets and they're doing things. And they're finishing. They've been out fishing all night. He needs to preach to this great, tremendous crowd, and the crowd is pressing upon him, pushing him. He's going to like push him into the lake. So he asks this businessman. Now, start taking notes now. This is where you start taking notes. Notice Jesus initiates this action. When you spend time in prayer, when you spend time in fellowship, you're going to develop your ear to hear the voice of the Lord. It comes by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter. He is the Spirit of truth, and when he comes, he is going to guide you into all truth. I'm not going to leave you as orphans to find your own way. As you spend time doing what we call the message, you are going to develop your ear and you're going to begin to hear instructions from Jesus. He is going to initiate these things. If you're in business, he may come and say, in this case, he says, Peter, could I use a portion of your business for a little while? I need what you have in order to get the gospel out. That instruction can come to you business people in 1,000 different ways. He may come, I need you to do this. Would you let me do this? In Sue and my case, we weren't business people at the time. What he says, could I have your living room every Thursday night? I have a group of people that have, at one time they were on fire for the Lord, but they've been so hurt by church people that by this time they won't darken a church door again. He says, they don't hate me or anything, but they have no fellowship at all. He says, if you'll invite them to your home and make it very unchurchy, you know, serve tea and cookies and coffee and soda pop and make it very unchurchy, they'd like to come and learn about me. Could I have your living room every Thursday night for 2 years? We didn't know it at the time, but he was saying 2 years. That was our way of lending Jesus our boat. He needed to preach to the people. Got that? He can come to you 1,000 ways, but the key is you got to hear him. You got to hear him. You got to spend time doing all that we call, quote, the message. All of it. If you spend time doing that, the master's going to begin speaking to you. You're going to get sensitive to his voice. You'll hear him. Well, and then you yield. And he said, well, Peter says, well, sure, Lord, you can use my boat. So the Lord uses Peter's boat, uses his business, in our case, used our living room, accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. And he could have just walked away. It's vitally important that you understand. Jesus could have said, thank you very much, Peter, and walked on down the road, and that would have been fine. Whose idea was it to bless Peter's business? Whose idea was that? First came the instructions for the use of the business. Then came the instructions for the blessing of the business, the prospering of the business. It's more than a formula. It is a relationship. You have to hear him for what he wants you to do for him. And really, you have to hear him for what he wants to do for you. And in this case, don't you start SUVing and DVDing me now. I mean, he'll prosper you okay, but really we're talking about kingdom finances. Okay? All right? Now watch this. Now, one of the reasons he's having me do both of these lessons today, which I've never done that rich man and this illustration all in the same service. And I believe he wants to show you there really are two ways, as we say in Pottawatomie County, to get her done. There's two ways to do it. That the man over in Luke 12 that we looked at a while ago, he was following God's natural law. Sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. I'm not talking in the offering bucket. I'm talking in the ground. He went to work. He used did you know the earth? The Lord told me one time to say it this way. The earth is his provision machine. You ever notice he made the earth and made the garden and put all the trees and all the fruit in it first? Everything Adam would ever need was already in the earth. And it's still that way. Okay, the earth is God's provision machine. And the rich man, he got wealthy. I mean, that man whose land brought forth abundantly, he didn't get any special, quote, rhema from God. He just went to work. And he was hardworking and industrious and did what he was supposed to do. And his land brought forth plentifully. And that's one way to get her done. That's okay. Just don't forget the lessons from the manna, and God can keep prospering you that way. Now, in that man's arena, where the way he was operating, his best friend was the laws of agriculture, the laws of horticulture, his own experience as a farmer. All of that was his best friend. But see, there's another way to get her done. It's a supernatural way. That's what we're looking at in this one. And that's really more like what God's calling for these last days, okay? Now watch this. Because now Jesus begins to give Peter instruction. And in this case, he says, let's pick it up here in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now let's stop for a moment. I'm not a scholar in this matter. I've read books like you've read books about all this. I am told that the common way of fishing there was night fishing. You did it at night. That was the way you did it. That all of Peter's experience, he's not a novice at this. All of these men, they have a fishing business with partners. This is a franchise going on. All right, they've got several boats. It's a major operation in the land. All right? Now, all of Peter's experience and all of his knowledge about fishing, when he starts encountering the Lord, now all of that is his worst enemy. You understand the difference? Can you see the difference? With the agriculture guy, just using the natural ways of producing, that's your best friend. Well, you start walking with Jesus, he starts giving you instructions that goes contrary to all of your experience, contrary to how everybody else is doing it. Nobody else is doing it this way, Lord, but at your word, I'll do what you say. At your word, we'll do it your way. I'm tired. I'm worn out. By the way, I just proved myself as a perfect failure as a fisherman. I've used all my experience, all of my equipment, all of my resources, and all of my friends. We've been out all night. And I'd like to report to you 100% failure. We caught nothing. And Jesus says, aren't you glad I'm here? Now I want you to launch out. I'm tired. Now this is a heavy revy. Get your pen out. Whining gets you nowhere with the Lord. Dave has in his office one of those, you know, the circle with a slash across it, and it says, no whining. This is a no whining zone. I'm tired. Do it anyway. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you the strength to do it. But Lord, it's daylight now. Nobody goes fishing here in the daytime. All my experience, Lord, I've been at this 20 years. I've been at this 10 years. Lord, we already fished during the good time. And the Lord's going, yeah, I see how much good that did you. I see these nets you're washing. I don't see no flopping in the nets. He says, launch out now. Boy, you better write this down. The timing of the Lord is perfect. One of my biggest things that I'm saying right now, it's a phrase that I know is from heaven. Stop trying to figure it out and just pray it out. Pray till you hear what he says do. Do what he says, when he says, the way he says, and he's going to fill your nets to breaking also. Glory to God. Is this good stuff? Amen. All your experience. When the Lord shows up, I love that phrase, Tim. He does not show up to take sides. He shows up to take over. He's not your business partner. He's the boss. You're his steward. You're not Lord. All right. This is a Lord check. Who is Lord? Okay, I'm in the right church. You're not Lord. Okay. Simon answered, verse 5, Master, we've toiled all the night. We've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Boy, now here it is. Nevertheless. I got to say it these ways. He keeps bringing it up because it's got to impact your brain. We wouldn't say it that way. What we would say today, Lord, I have never in my life heard anybody say to do what you're telling me to do. Jimmy Miller and I were discussing this. My friend Jimmy Miller, we were discussing some of the adventures in God. Can I say it that way? Some of the things God's asked us to do. I like the way LaRue says it. LaRue says, Gary, God has never yet asked me to do anything I could afford. You know, boy, can I relate with that. Jimmy Miller and I, we were talking one day about some of the adventures in God that we both had. He and I decided we're going to start a new Bible college. The name of the college is going to be right, great big letters over the door. God, you said what? That's the way it's going to be when you start getting your instructions from heaven. You said what? Nobody fishes in the daytime. We'll look like fools out here. We look like... Go fishing in the daytime. Do it the way I tell you. And we got to speed it up a little. they started dragging in the hall. I mean, the customers began to come. The money began to flow into the nets. Draw the analogy, modern day now. You start hearing from the Lord and doing what He says. And when He, if it goes counter to all your experience, counter to all the business schools, counter to everything you've ever learned, you do what He says. And just bring this into the modern times. Verse 6, when this they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes to the point their nets broke. You know, bank accounts are only insured up to $250,000. Your nets begin to break. You got to have more accounts. That would be a modern day analogy. I got to have another account. Andrew's looking at me. I'm probably not, don't know what I'm talking about. The nets begin to break. What's the analogy? It's more than you can hold. So he started calling his other ships. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. Now listen, you guys, you gotta know this too, so you gotta meditate. Did you ever think about this? When Jesus finished speaking to the crowds, have you forgotten the crowds that were on shore? Those crowds didn't leave people. They're watching something they have never seen in their lives. The Lord is in somebody's business. And they're watching it prosper in a way that nobody says will work. They're watching it. And they're calling their partners over now. And the fish get into their nets. These are not little bitty canoes. These are fishing boats, probably weigh several tons. How many fish does it take to begin to topple a couple of fishing boats? They're in danger of sinking. The prosperity, when the Lord gets involved and all the crowd is watching, they're going to be watching you too. And they're going to be saying, Rudy, for you to do what you're doing, that has to be God working with you. Jesus has got to be in your boat, man. He's going to be saying that about the rest. I just don't know your names. He's going to be saying that about you and about you and the people on the crowd, the people on the shore. They're going to be watching it. And you know what a lot of them are going to do? A lot of them are going to start offering Jesus their boats. Now, wait a minute. That's not good. Because the next day he may be preaching out in the desert. Up on a hillside. Can you see some old boys who watched that episode yesterday? They hired a bunch of slaves or a bunch of servants. They got 25 servants pulling his boat across the desert. Trying to get where Jesus is. Because I saw the formula. If you give Jesus your boat for a little while, He fills your boat with fish. Now Jesus is out in the desert, so I'm going to drag my boat to Jesus because I know it's by formula. If I give Jesus my boat, like Peter gave his boat, and Jesus has got to be on the hillside teaching and he watches these guys dragging a boat across the desert. He goes, it can't be. Surely they don't think I need a boat here. Surely they know that it's by relationship, that if they'll come talk with me, I'll tell them what I need. Because I could use their business too. There's a few lessons at that lake we have. One of them is called From Formula to Relationship. From Formula to Relationship. Those that gather much are going to hear the Master's voice. You're going to get your instructions from Him. And it's not a one-time event. Now, in this case, God called Peter and those men to full-time ministry. Okay? That's not... That. How do I say this the way you want it, Lord? That was just their calling. There are people that are going to be gathering much, and that is their office in the body. They are called to be kings. They are called to expand the kingdom. They are called to finance the Peters, to finance the Johns, to finance these apostles, to finance the end times. And they're also going to be using your businesses directly to feed the poor and preach the gospel and do all these different things. You got to get your instructions from Him. Amen? Y'all getting the message out of this? I know we're running a little bit over. We're not running over? All right. Well, hey, if I can find this thing I printed here this morning. Hang on here. That's not it. That's not it. I know it's here somewhere. Sue, come here and hold this for me just for a moment, please. Hang on. Hold that right there. Okay. Hang on here. Ah. Thank you. I have to be careful because when she comes within a certain range, often my mind, I lose my train of thought. So, well, come on, we've only been married 30 years. I mean, you know, give me a little time for the honeymoon to be over, okay? Hallelujah. In case you couldn't hear that, Sue said, good, isn't he? How do you go from where you are? See, I know you wouldn't have spent the money you spent and arrange your vacation time. You wouldn't be here if you weren't serious about this. I know that, and the Lord knows that, and don't think he's taking it lightly. How do you go from where you are to where you're hearing? Like, see, we go, pardon me, for years I was so jealous. That's not fair. Lord, Peter could hear from you. He could see you. He was right there with you. And it took a long time for God to get it across to me. I am none diminished from Peter. He says, do you remember who it was later that had to correct Peter? Remember who that was? That was Paul. You remember that? He says, do you understand that Paul was not, he never walked with me personally? Paul didn't get saved till after I was glorified. He says, Paul learned of me by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit you have. And Paul got to the point, he knew me better than Peter, whom I hand trained. He says, don't whine to me anymore. Now see, we have access to the same Holy Ghost, the one that Jesus says. He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. You'll never be able to go to him. I'm telling you, you're never going to be able to say, you didn't give me any instructions. He'll say, no, you didn't spend time with the Holy Ghost. You didn't spend the time required. Now these words I'm going to read you is just a portion. Now I'll just go ahead and tell you this. This is a portion of prophecy that came through Pastor Dave. Now you grab hold of something. 10 years ago. 10 years ago. This came through Pastor Dave. See if you think it's still not a living word. It's too long for you to write all of it. It's more important that you hear it and you can get it off the tape later. And again, this is not condemnation. This is encouragement. This is correction from a father who loves you. You want to know how to go from where you are to where you're hearing like that? The Lord says, for how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And when you walked according to circumstances, were you in agreement with me? And when you fellowshipped with devils that fellowshipped with your flesh, were you in agreement with me? When you fellowshipped with the problem, and the problem you magnified more than my glory and more than my power and more than my word, were we in agreement? No, says the Spirit of the Lord. And did you take the steps necessary to bring yourself into agreement with me? No, not for many years you did not. For you walked in the state of double-mindedness. And even now, and boy, this is a now word for this conference. I'm telling you, listen. I would say today, you stand at the crossroads. And these two paths are in front of you. Choose which path you will walk on. Choose which path you desire to be found on. The path that you walked on, or the path that opens up to my fullness and my understanding and my power and my glory. You can walk the path that I set before you. You say you cannot, but I say that you can. Is anything too hard for me? A little more. And another person says, I cannot. And I say that you could. But you said again, I cannot. And I said that you could. And you cannot, says the Spirit of the Lord, only because you choose not to spend time with me, where I would make the adjustments in where you could. Excuse me. Where I could make the adjustments in you where you could. So say no longer that you are not responsible for where you are walking. You are responsible, for you chose not, and you chose not to fellowship with me, that I might change you, that I might change that which is in you from cannot to can. So therefore you have become accountable, says the Lord. And you can because you know how to fellowship with me, that you might be able to do what I have told you to do. Therefore, you are accountable. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Now, this is a strong word, but you didn't pay all that money to get here to leave the same way you came, did you? Two more paragraphs. For I would say to you that where you are walking, you have come to a place of accountability. He that has, only more can be given. But in that place of accountability, he that has not, it shall be taken from him even that which he has. At this point in your walk, says the Spirit of the Lord, if you choose the wrong fork, if you choose the wrong fork in the path, you're going to begin to lose and not gain. The fast will go faster. The slow will go slower. For in you, and that's as if you choose the wrong path, for in that you have handed the enemy the authority that he needs. Who are you, says the Spirit of the Lord, to throw your hands up and surrender? Who are you to back down from such circumstances? Think you that you stand alone? Who gave you a license to stop? Who told you that you could surrender under such circumstances? Know those who have walked before you. For my hand was upon them, and they had no more or no less to walk in my presence by. But my glory was upon them as they surrendered to me. I surrendered to them. Who are you to throw your hands up in such trivial circumstances? And surrender as though you have been defeated without heaven behind you. Pick yourself up and be strong, and I will show myself strong. Who do you think you are to surrender under such minor circumstances, says the Spirit of the Lord. Say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're coming into a time of accountability. Yes, sir. We have come into a time of accountability. Yes, sir. And I'm understanding now that's part of the reason why he's saying, don't relay that foundation. That foundation is there for anybody who wants to get on it. It's there, it's available for you, and it's free like water. The Lord is, we're going from that realm of the unseen to the realm of the seen now. Your choice. You can be in the group that goes faster. You can be in the group that goes slower. But you are accountable. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.